Mr. President?
Yes, Bob.
Bob, I just wanted to bring you up to date on the Belgian operation on the Congo. It came off, as I think you're aware, at 11 o'clock last night, Eastern Standard Time, when 545 Belgians were dropped. No casualties from fire during the drop. Two of the three soldiers were injured, broken ankles and things of that kind. 12 U.S. C-130s participated. Four were hit by ground fire. One sustained major damage in a fuel tank. All, however, landed safely at Leopoldville. No U.S. casualties in the aircraft at all. The aircraft was secured, the airfield was secured in about half an hour, which was excellent under the circumstances. The city was entered in about 45 minutes after the start of the drop. The European hostages had been rounded up by the rebels into two groups. One group was out near the airport. The other was, in effect, in the square of the city. There were 60 to 75 U.S. Personnel in a hotel, and we think that of these, as many as 15, let me start again. There were 60 to 75 personnel, including some U.S., mostly Belgians, however, in a hotel. And of the 60 to 75, 15 were killed by the rebels, shooting indiscriminately into the mob. 30 were wounded. There were about 250 European civilians herded into a square. Rebels fired into those. About 15 were killed and 40 wounded. So it looks as though something on the order of 30 hostages were killed and maybe 70 wounded. Our consul, the man named Hoyt, H-O-Y-T, is reported well and has been evacuated, we believe. Dr. Carlson, the missionary, we believe is dead. The Van der Waal column, which was the column led by mercenaries, entered the city about 5 hours after the drop started and linked up with the Belgian paratroopers, and the Van der Waal column captured the Camp Katili, which was on the eastern side of the city and was the center of the rebel power area where the other hostages had been reported. Our C-130s have been running missions between Stanleyville and Leopoldville, evacuating the refugees. About 200 to 300 have already been taken out, and about 500 more remain to be taken out. We think we'll take out about half with C-130s and the other half with commercial aircraft. So far, it's been, I should say, militarily a highly successful operation, but the casualties to the hostages have been heavy.
How many Americans do you anticipate?
We don't really know. As you know, we thought there were about 25 American hostages there with some 600-odd Belgian hostages, and we don't know that any Americans were either killed or wounded, but my guess is that there must have been some.
What about...
Other than Carlson, as I mentioned, who we believe is dead.
What did they do, just to make him pay the price?
We don't have the exact details of his death here. We don't know whether he was killed ahead of time or during the episode. I believe it was ahead of time, but I'm not absolutely positive of that.
Any rebels killed?
I'm sure there were, but we don't have reports of that either.
Who would kill him? Paratroopers?
The Belgian paratroopers, yes. And the Van der Waal column coming in from the other side.
What's the reaction in our country?
It's
in your
too early to say, Mr. President. It missed most of the morning papers, but the late morning Washington Post has an article on the front page, and the headline is U.S. Drops Rescuers in Congo. The article is straightforward, but appears entirely sensible.
What are the potential dangers you see that this action?
Well, the danger is that the dangers are several fold. One, we can be accused of colonialism, linking up with a reactionary government in the Congo and indiscriminately killing the rebel people, who we believe will be supported by the eight-nation African conference. It looks almost certain, as though Kenyatta and the governments of seven other African states will be supporting the rebels and therefore attacking us for supporting the government. I doubt, however, that in view of the rebel action in indiscriminately killing the hostages, there will be any strong public support in this country for that charge. I think we would have been in a worse position if we'd gone ahead and withheld the drop and then had the Van der Waal column approached the city, and the rebels would have acted, I suspect, in almost exactly the same fashion, except they would have had more time and killed more hostages. and then you would have been charged with withholding military assistance, which was close at hand, and as a result, accepting a large number of civilian deaths.
Who really planned this operation?
It was planned by the Belgians, and it was initiated by the Belgians, and we did not put any pressure on Spock to undertake it. And he initiated yesterday the recommendation to go ahead after he had met with his cabinet in Belgium, and the whole cabinet approved the proposal before we recommended it to you at noontime.
All right, what else?
I talked to Dean yesterday after your call about Max's statement, and we did send out the queries last night, but it turned out the state had seen the Life article and had concurred in it. So Max was entirely justified in assuming that his statements were in accordance with government policy. As a matter of fact, State Department, McCluskey issued a statement yesterday to the press, which was printed in last night's papers and also this morning's, indicating that State had seen the article, and there's one statement in here that State Department concurs in it. I'll see if I can find it for you in just a second. Which we're going to cause a little trouble, as a matter of fact. But the main point I wanted to leave with you is that I don't believe Max got out of line here.
Yeah, you don't think the story about the Johnson administration, he's determined whether he'd stay by what they did, isn't it?
Mr. President, I'm absolutely certain that isn't true. I can just guarantee that. He's not that kind of a person.
Why would he be giving out such an interview, and why would they be approving it? Do they think there's some good will flow from it?
I assume so. I think on the interview itself wasn't bad. I haven't read it yet. It came out, or it's coming out in today's Life. Here's what it says. U.S. supports General Taylor on value of airstrikes against Viet Reds. The State Department yesterday, in effect, endorsed General Maxwell Taylor's assertion that airstrikes at communist training areas in North Vietnam would help the military effort against Red guerrillas battling to overthrow the American-supported government of South Vietnam. Press officer McCluskey said the department saw text of an interview given by Taylor, Ambassador to Saigon, in advance and did not object to any part of it. The spokesman said the State Department did not formally clear Taylor's interview with Life, but he said this was not necessary because the ambassador is his own man and is free to grant interviews without clearing them. If there's anything a bit extraordinary in what an ambassador intends to say, the department is usually informed. We were in this case. The department's endorsement also appeared to cover Taylor's acknowledgement that the outcome of the struggle in South Vietnam, in which 20,000 American servicemen are engaged, is very much in doubt.
I think it'd be better not said, don't you?
Well, I think it probably would have been, except I should read the article before I come to that conclusion. And I have it on my desk, but I just haven't read it yet.
Well, interpretation that I've seen is that we're sending up trial balloons. We don't know what to do. That we're just trying to see how the public feels, and we want to shift with the sands.
Well,
I don't like that impression.
I completely agree with it. It's an untimely release. It couldn't have come at a worse time in view of the fact he's coming back here, and the discussion will take place next week. But I'm sure that he was not acting in any way that he thought was contrary to government policy, and he, under no circumstances would he make such a statement as that is attributed to him about resigning in the event his recommendations were not accepted.
Bob, I wonder if you couldn't get with Gardner Ackley and Doug Dillon and a little group there that you might think put together and see what steps, if any, we should take in connection with the proposed steel increases.
Yes, Doug called. I guess you talked to Doug about that, and he called a meeting for 11:15 yesterday, which I was to attend. Unfortunately, the Congo crisis took precedence over it, but I believe that he met with Gardner Ackley and perhaps Kermit Gordon at the time, and I talked to Doug ahead of time about my views. Now, I haven't talked to him since, so I don't know what they did, but we will get something together for you on that.
I talked to Clark Clifford last night. He's kind of working the other side of the street with the labor people through Goldberg and trying to see if they can't make them aware of the extreme dangers that this thing holds.
Well, I will get back to Doug this morning. I'll make sure we have something for you.
Another thing I would like for you to do, if you could, to talk to Rusk, this honorary fraternity, sorority, whatever you call it, the journalism outfit. Bird, what is that?
Oh, Sigma Chi.
Yes, Sigma Chi.
Yeah.
Did you see their article yesterday?
I did.
I think we ought to consider carefully what they have said and see if there's any real justification for the position that they have taken. I'd like to have it objectively evaluated and also see what we might put into effect that would improve our acceptance in these quarters. I have a letter from Gene Robb and a group of the Editorial Association in which they are somewhat critical. They want to meet with me and try to clear up the secretiveness in government and what we're holding back and what we're hiding, and more or less have an open policy. And I had a letter yesterday from a friend of mine, kind of advised me how to be a good president. It had a page and a half all on this subject, which shows that there's a pretty influential group in this organization that's seriously considering the practices at the White House, the Defense Department, and the State Department. And I would think that we ought to try to see what we have done during these 4 years and improved upon the availability and accessibility of information and cabinet officers and presidents. And the legitimate gripe that I could see that would lie against us at the White House would be lack of sufficient advance notices.
I think that is a basis for criticism, Mr. President. That was one of the major charges that Sigma Chi article made.
Well, I think that's the only real, and it seems to me that that would come from people who kind of scattered out and don't have people at the White House and don't want to rely on the wire services and so forth. We usually give them a few hours notice, and we sometimes give them a day's notice, but I don't see that we really, I don't see they're very consistent. If they want the information we have when we have it, when we believe it's news, we haven't got much time to give them 2 or 3 days.
Well, I don't, Mr. President, I think this is one of those image problems rather than a matter of substance. I think they interpret the lack of notice as a desire to avoid having specialists at the press conference and therefore avoid penetrating questions. And I'm sure they don't think they need more than 12 hours notice.
Well, they have had that in some instances, but we don't, unless you manufacture it, we don't. And I don't know how good a policy it is to just urge departments to get stuff so you're really prepared for them. I've tried it, but to me, it's pretty superficial to for the president to be going around begging people to give him something to give to the press and assuming the responsibility.